This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Today on the On Enquirer podcast, Scott Burgess, PrepHoops.com. You may see him on Twitter, at Scotty B. Scott, one of the best in state covering high school basketball and recruiting, along with our boy Joe Henriksen. So Scott does a great job, and we're going to get the latest from Scott on Merez Johnson. What he thinks of Merez as a prospect? He thinks pretty highly, so stay tuned for that. The new offer to Jason Jaxtus out of Yorkville. He gets an Illinois offer in the class of 2024. Scott gives us a scouting report on him. Phoenix Gill, is he ascending? Just like his father did, a late riser in that class back in, what, 1987, 86, whatever it was. Phoenix Gill, now a prospect in his own right. Illinois is offered, and that's looking like a better and better offer as time goes on. We get into more about why all the state's best talents, most of them, are leaving the state and how that's why that's happening, how that's impacting the state, and also some buzz about a very young class. Could it be the next great one in state? We talked to Scott Burgess about all of that, as well as just Illinois basketball and its brand in in-state recruiting. So great stuff with Scott coming up. But before that, I want to talk a little bit about Illinois football and Illinois football recruiting, because it is another huge official visitor weekend for Illinois football. And it starts this week, midweek, as we're recording this on Tuesday, with Marquise Lightfoot, the top possible prospect on Illinois' board, four-star edge rusher out of Chicago Kenwood. He has a top six that consists of college football's powerhouses. That includes Ohio State, USC, Miami, Alabama, and Georgia. And Illinois also is in that top six. And now they are the third program to get an official visit from Marquise Lightfoot, who is a 6'5", 220-pound outside linebacker prospect for Illinois. Edge rusher, could play defensive end in other schemes, has more than 40 scholarship offers in the composite rankings. He's the number 70 prospect in the 24/7 sports rankings. He's in the top 130. He is a top five in-state prospect, four in the composite, three in the composite, four in the 24/7 sports. You put on his film, he's just a NFL-type prospect. He is 6'5", 220 pounds, really athletic, great burst, great length. He's what they look like. He's going to have to add strength, but he is a just no doubt top 247, different kind of prospect given the ceiling, given the athleticism, given the traits. And if Illinois were to land him, he would be the highest-rated prospect they've landed as a prep prospect since Terry Hawthorne back in 2009. So he's that level. Terry Hawthorne, when he walked on campus, was an NFL prospect. Marquise Lightfoot would do the same. Martez Wilson, Regis Benn, that level of player. Now Martez and Regis, a little bit more freaky, given their athleticism and size and strength, all of that when they signed as five-star prospects. But Illinois getting him on campus is a huge win. Just to get him on this official visit. You know, Ohio State already has three crystal ball picks, including two of our national experts in Steve Wiltfong and Alan True. So those guys are really good at their jobs. They are plugged in. I would imagine Ohio State is the favorite here. But to get him on campus, I think, says a lot about this staff, about its improved recruiting. It's about its relationships in state, about the brand being better. But also, we have to give a huge hat tip to Charlie Bullen. If you're wondering whether, you know, coming from the NFL, never recruiting, whether Charlie Bowen would be a good recruiter, the buzz I've heard over the last several months and just getting to know Charlie a little bit, talking to him a little bit, this guy can recruit. He is a natural at it. He just has that outgoing personality. He connects with people. Even when I'm watching him at, you know, these prospect camps where, you know, he's coaching and instructing guys that are not Illinois recruiting targets, like, he is really invested in them and interested in them and giving them insight and trying to bond with them, or he just likes making connections. And he has done that with Marquise Lightfoot. He has recruited Chicago Kenwood very hard, and he has resonated with Marquise Lightfoot. And part of that is due to his experience coaching some of the NFL's best pass rushers, Chandler Jones, Hassan Reddick, you know, Cameron Wake, some of the best pass rushers of the last 5 to 10 years in the NFL. And Illinois can sell, obviously, the home state thing. They can sell playing time. It's probably easier to get a path to playing time at Illinois rather than Ohio State or even in Alabama or Georgia, obviously. But, of course, Illinois is competing against the best programs in college football. I mean, Ohio State is dominant in the Big Ten until the last couple of years with Michigan, but, you know, they could sell Joey Bosa and Nick Bosa and Chase Young, right, and several other high draft picks. Zach Harrison was just taken in the third round. USC is a powerhouse again, it looks like, under Lincoln Riley. Miami is Miami, and Jason Taylor, the Pro Football Hall of Famer, is recruiting him. And then Georgia and Alabama are just Georgia and Alabama. Georgia has won back-to-back titles, and Crimson Tide have a guy named Nick Saban coaching them. So, obviously, this is going to be very difficult for Illinois to win, but you get to shoot your shot. And this week, he's visiting Tuesday through Thursday on a more private official visit. And it's not like Illinois does not have nothing to sell, not have anything to sell at edge rusher. You know, Seth Coleman is turning into an NFL prospect. Gabe Akis is an NFL prospect for 2025, right? Freshman All-American at that position. They have some good talent coming up. Alec Bryant, Jared Beatty, Calvin Smith, Lane Jenkins, all guys I'm pretty high on for the long term. They've recruited some talent there, but Lightfoot has the talent and potential to come in right away and be a situational pass rusher, potentially earn a role, and then really in his second, third seasons be a superstar. And he's got that kind of potential. He's got to work for it. He's got to get better, all those things. But Illinois certainly has shown under Brett Bielema that if you commit to that process and you have the talent, we're going to put you in position to succeed. Look at Devin Witherspoon and Quan Martin and Kirby Joseph and Sidney Brown, right? So they've developed those guys in defense. Johnny Newton, Keith Randolph, going to be NFL draft picks as well. So Illinois's got a little bit of a sell. It's not Georgia's. It's not Alabama's. It's not Ohio State's. But if you want to stay in state, or, you know, you talk to Malik Elzey, which I'm certainly will this week during the visit, you know, that guy buys in, might be easier for the next guy to buy in. So this is a long shot, but they got their shot. And I'm not saying this is what Illinois' plan is, but in the age of the transfer portal, it does not hurt to have this kind of strong relationship or make this kind of impression on a prep prospect of this magnitude, because you might get another chance at him. And I think that could be really important for Illinois down the line, not only for a guy like Marquise Lightfoot, but guys maybe they've recruited in previous classes that didn't quite land. And Illinois is always very well aware of that. Other than that, this is a big weekend for defensive backs for Illinois. They're still trying to flip Vernon Woodward, the Florida defensive back who is committed to Wisconsin. And they got a chance. They got a real chance to do that. But if they aren't able to get him, or they're not able to get Ricky Knight, or even if they are able to get those two top targets, Ricky Knight is considering Miami, Florida State, could be difficult to pull him out of his home state of Florida. Illinois set up a weekend where they can really cash in and get their defensive backs, because these guys aren't guys that are probably going to make an impact right away, but you got to still build up that secondary where you've built up a lot of talent the last couple classes. We'll see how those guys pan out the next couple years. But Illinois wants to add 3-4 more defensive backs in this class. They got a long cornerback, Dalen Platt, 6'3", visiting this weekend. He's visited Ole Miss, but Aaron Henry loves him. Jacob Cosby-Mosley, an in-the-box type defensive back, could play nickel, could play strong safety. I like him in that strong safety role, like Sidney Brown. He's visiting this weekend. It looks like it's an Illinois-Wake Forest battle. And don't say Wake Forest is not much of a battle, because Dave Clawson's a really good coach who's had a lot of success here recently in the ACC. Amar Reynolds, long defensive back out of Florida. Chase Green, a safety I really like, is a ball hawk. He's visiting this weekend. So I really think you could see some movement, most likely. I do think you'll get some of those guys. Chase Green, no other Power 5 offers. Amar Reynolds, no other Power 5 offers. Those guys would be atop my list of likelihoods there. Illinois also bring in another tight end. Just got in Tanner Hollinger, Nebraska tight end, currently a two-star on 24/7 Sports. But he does show some things on film. He's long. He's pretty got good acceleration for a guy his size, pretty physical blocker. But I wrote it earlier this week. I was really interested to see where the tight end recruiting goes, because they have prioritized Carson Conkle out of Pinckneyville, three-star prospect, downstate kid, Illinois, one of the first Power 5 offers. But he left campus earlier this week on his official visit without committing, and then he decided to camp at Arkansas. And that told you he probably had some high interest in Arkansas, and that Arkansas probably had some high interest in him. They offered during his visit, so we'll see where that goes. But he also planned to take an official visit to Pittsburgh. We'll see if that happens or if he goes to Arkansas. We'll see what happens with Conkle. But it's clear that he wants to look elsewhere, and that Illinois might not have the ability to kind of wait for him. So Conkle's a really good prospect with a high ceiling, but they're now going to move towards Hollinger, it looks like, though they haven't offered him. So we'll see what happens this weekend with both Conkle and Hollinger. That is certainly something to watch. Tight end is a position that I think is a big need for Illinois. I'm a fan of Tip Ryman. I think he'll take a big step forward. I think Griffin Moore is going to make an impact. And of the young guys, I'm really high on Henry Boyer and what he can do, especially as a blocker, but he's a little bit quicker than we probably gave him credit for as a prospect. So I'm really interested to see what he does as a redshirt freshman. I think he can crack the rotation here. Tanner Arkin, a transfer of multiple years of eligibility. I think he can be a rotational piece. But do they have a guy who can be a dynamic pass catcher and blocker? Do they have a guy who can do both those things? I think Nate Gwynn eventually can be a really good receiver. He's going to have a lot of strength. Owen Anderson, we'll see how he develops. Not nearly as big as some of these other guys. Is a solid receiver from what we've seen, but I think they need to add more talent. Brett Bielema has a lot of success at tight end, and it stops at Wisconsin and Arkansas. You know, Arkansas, obviously, Hunter Henry being the big one there, but that hasn't translated yet to the recruiting pitch at Illinois. I think that might be due to Ben Miller, his illness, knocking him out for last year. And then obviously he's taken a different role with his health issues. And now you're bringing in another assistant. So maybe some of that has played in here, or just that Illinois hasn't had a ton of success passing the ball to tight ends quite yet. It's been a while since Illinois has had a lot of success passing the ball to tight end. Feels like Lou Dorsey was the last really, really good year. I think Tip Ryman and people in the program and Jay Layman's come on here and said, I think he could be an NFL prospect. I do, too. I think he's so physical, so big, really good blocker. He's got to take another step as a pass catcher. He's got this season to do it and potentially another season to do it. So tight end is one to watch this weekend. The other things I would look for, got a couple edge prospects outside of Marquise Lightfoot visiting this weekend, three-star Wheaton edge rusher, Joe Barna, Wheaton North. Illinois-Wisconsin battle feels like. Oklahoma just offered, but Illinois won a couple battles against Oklahoma here recently, so maybe that's not as scary as it used to be. And a kid I really like, Josiah Knight out of Florida, was once committed to Cincinnati, but 6'3", 235, good burst, good size. I don't want to say he's Gabe Akis, but there's some Akis-like talents, physical traits when you watch him on the film. So I think he's a guy that's really intriguing. If you can get both those guys, I think you feel great about your edge rusher class. And then you keep shooting your shot for Marquise Lightfoot. And they're going to continue to try and add and beef up the lines. They're off to a really good start on the lines. You got Eddie Turk, Demetrius John, Angelo McCollum on the defensive line potentially, Zafir Stewart, Brandon Hansen, and potentially Turk on the offensive line. Mikhail Pyfrom out of Omaha, Nebraska. He's visiting Nebraska, Minnesota. Seems like Nebraska is the favorite there, but Illinois's got a strong old line cell. We'll see if they can get him or Brett Carroll, really physical guy out of Kansas, more of a guard that they offered and hosted earlier this month. If they can add one of those guys, you feel really good about your offensive line. And while this one isn't set in stone or confirmed quite yet, it sounds like Kentucky defensive lineman D'Amico Kennedy could make a visit to Illinois as well. So shoot your shot on some more talent in the trenches. It'll be interesting to see if Illinois can do that. But they're really off to a good start in the trenches. But if you can keep adding that and keep adding depth and talent and competition, that is so important, because that's where Brett Bielema wins, and it's usually where you win, not only in just college football in general, but especially in the Big Ten. And then, of course, running back, the highest-ranked prospect visiting this weekend after Lightfoot leaves campus is Khalil Valentine, running back out of Chandler, Arizona, 6'1", 180. He's a little thin, given that he's 6 foot, but fast. Ran a 10.8 100-meter. That basically projects to a 4.5 or under in the 40. So real speed, where he can break away from people, and has a little bit of size. I think he can add some strength. Obviously, Darion Dupree out of Chicago Mount Carmel is the top target, and Illinois has prioritized him. They want him. So does Wisconsin. And it continues to look like an Illinois-Wisconsin battle. Now, Dupree has planned for a visit to Missouri. He's kept pretty quiet in recent weeks, and he hasn't committed anywhere. Some people thought that could be done for Wisconsin by now, but Wisconsin took another commitment from a bigger back, Gideon Atuka. But they also brought in another four-star running back out of Maryland, Dylan Jones, for an official visit last week. And so Dupree seems like their priority, but they're looking elsewhere. And now the Illini are too, with Khalil Valentine taking an official visit. And if they get Valentine or Dupree, you feel really good, because you need that kind of speed threat. Valentine, a really good receiver as well, explosive in that regard. Dupree, very good with that as well. Dupree could potentially be a wide receiver prospect for some teams. Like, they were looking at him somewhere as a wide receiver, but that's how skilled he is as a pass catcher. But you add that to your bigger backs, and you have Dupree or Valentine plus Aiden Loffrey, you feel good about your running back group when you combine that with Josh McCray, now Reggie Love for another year, and then, of course, Jordan Anderson, Caden Fagan. That'd be a really good running back room, and Illinois's got a heck of a running back cell. So those are the main things I'm looking for this weekend with official visits. Brandon Hansen, a commit, will be on campus for that. They did well with Angel McCollum, one of the commits on campus last week, and of course getting 6 commitments. I don't know if this is a 6-commitment weekend, but I would expect a few to pop pretty early. If Hollinger gets an offer, you feel like you'd get another one potentially there, but the Florida DBs, Hollinger would be ones I'm really looking at. Barna, and then maybe you can get one of these other higher-ranked guys, like Khalil Valentine, who's top 400 in the composite, Kapai Fromm, top 700 in the composite, Josiah Knight, top 1,000 in the composite. But another big weekend in building up your class of 2024. And if Illinois can get to 12, 13, 14 commitments going into July, I think they'd feel pretty good about how they're set up, addressing the needs, and what they could do next in the class of 2024. You can check out more at IlliniEnquirer.com. I have my official visit primer of Marquise Lightfoot up there, the 5 things I'm looking for this weekend, and we'll have all of our official visit primers later on in the week. Plus, this week, we're going to chat with two of the most important people in the Illinois Athletic Department. That includes Josh Whitman. His media roundtable is on Wednesday. May do a pod recapping that at some point this week. And then Thursday, we will chat with Brett Bielema, Illinois football head coach, talk about all the recruiting things, the JUCO additions, where his team's at, summer workouts, freshmen coming in, all of that. So we'll have plenty of content at IlliniEnquirer.com. But let's talk some high school basketball recruiting, shall we? Scott Burgess, PrepHoops.com, on the state of Illinois prospects that the Illini are targeting. That's next on the Illini Enquirer podcast.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does, 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's get our basketball fix. We've been so portal obsessed that it's nice to get old school here and talk a little prep recruiting. And one of the best guys in state to talk to, Scott Burgess, prephoops.com. Scott, do you feel a little overlooked, the prep hoops side, with the transfer portal the last few months?
Yes, it definitely. The going into the spring is when I noticed it the most, when you know, I used to get calls heading into those first two AAU live weekends. Hey, who should we be watching? What are some of the young kids we should be watching? It's, hey, do you have this kid from 5 years ago's number still? Hey, who's this kid's handler? Who do I need to go through? All this stuff. And I'm like, I haven't talked to that guy in 3 or 4 years. What's going on with this kid? Like, is he thinking about leaving? I'm like, I don't know. Like, ask me about current high school players. But yes, it is very, very strange now that I get asked more about kids I covered, you know, in the 18 to 22 class than 24 and on at this point. It's weird.
Yeah, so I want to ask you, like, how does it impact the high school kids nowadays? Have you seen an impact of opportunity and for who?
Oh yeah, for sure. It trickles down all the way to small colleges. Like, when you think about it, it's like, you know, obviously, you know, Illinois fans look at it from their perspective, but, you know, a mid-major school, you know, like all the way down to Division II, Division III, it affects those kids' opportunities, because everybody's like, oh, we want to hold scholarship back, you know, that maybe we would have used on a high school kid. Yeah. And then when these kids, I tell everybody now, if you have a situation you want as a high school recruit, you take it, and you take it as soon as you can, because it could be gone just like that. Especially once you get into after the fall signing period, like, a lot of those opportunities are gone at that point. So I think I'm a big advocate of, if you have something you like that's committable, like, you see a lot of these offers going out there and it's like, how committable are they? Yeah. But yeah, I would say take what you have when you have it, because you know, that school that is recruiting you, that offered you a scholarship, might not have the greatest season, and their coach might be on the hot seat, and he might want to go out and get a 22-year-old instead of a 18-year-old freshman. That's not going to help as much right away. And then, it, like you said, not only from all the players and level wise, but when you're talking about the classes, like 25s, 26s, even early on with 27s, like, back in the day, I remember talking about guys like, you know, Jabari, you know, we talked about Jabari and Jalil and Cliff and Alex Foster, Tommy Hamilton, Jeremy Richmond, all those guys when they were, some of them before they even entered high school. Jeremy was committed before he even entered high school. Mm-hmm. And now, like, the recruitment on those guys has really reeled back. And it's because they're so focused on, okay, first transfers, then second, current or getting ready to be seniors, and making sure we have that class locked in. They're not looking as far 2, 3, 4 classes in advance. Maybe the Blue Bloods do a little bit more, yeah, but most schools in general don't anymore.
Well, Scott, let me ask you about this, because you brought up some of those names that I don't know if they would have finished their high school careers in the state of Illinois anymore, because we keep seeing all of some of the state's top prospects leaving the state, and that includes Jeremiah Fears, with his brother Jeremy now going to Michigan State. He's leaving Joliet, just as Jeremy did for a little while in his high school career. And Jeremiah, obviously an Illinois target, going to visit Illinois, I believe, this week. But I've asked Joe Hendrickson about this. I want to get your opinion about this. Like, what is happening there? Why is this happening? And is there anything, you know, in-state coaches can do about it?
I mean, if you look at the four that we've lost this year as a state, you're talking about James Brown, who we would have had at number two. Colt Serta would have been number three. Jeremiah Fears, who would have been number one in the 25 class. And Melvin Bell, who was number two in the 25 class. So that's four of probably your top eight best prospects overall, regardless of class, that all left. They all went to NIBC schools. The NIBC model has kind of taken Nike EYBL's model and morphed it into high school basketball. And it's like, that's where everything is. Because, you know, you have, well, I guess Jeremiah's not going there anymore. He was originally going to Sunrise. Now he's going to AZ Compass, which is a part of another league. So these kind of, they're not shoe leagues, but they're branded leagues that are playing on ESPN and playing on streamed games, and they're playing, traveling across the country. That's like the hot new thing to do. And you, it kind of, it, I get both sides to it.
Yeah.
It gets you ready for college because you're playing a league competition, not only in games, but every single day in practice, you're playing elite competition. So I get that. It's sets you up for kind of a college mindset with the travel and all that stuff as well. You know, when you get to college, it's travel here, got to do your studies whenever you can, etc. And then I also get the other side. Selfishly, I want them to stay because I want to have good players to cover. But also, too, I think it's a little sad when you see some of these guys who could be legends. I mean, you look at Jabari Parker and those guys, Kendrick Nunn, that group, that team will be forever remembered. Jalen Brunson, he is a legend in Stevenson. No matter whatever happened, if he didn't go on to Tyler Ulis had a really good career at Kentucky, not much of a pro career in the NBA. He is forever a legend in the South Suburbs and in the Chicago basketball community and Illinois, state of Illinois high school basketball community. I think that's something that people maybe miss out on by going to these out-of-state prep schools, that they just look at it from the, this is like the new flashy thing to do. And there are, I think there are pros and cons to both sides to it.
Well, Scott, let's focus a little bit on some guys Illinois basketball might have some interest in. And let's start with the commit. I mean, this guy's been committed for a while now, but he seems like he's only getting better. And I love Merez. I love the way he plays, but you watch him a heck of a lot more than I do. So, Merez, going into his senior year, what do you make of him as a prospect?
You know, I said it. I think I tweeted it. I wrote it in my scouting report for this event. I don't see any reason why he's not a five-star. From what he can do, from an ability to impact the game in so many ways. Physically, he has an unbelievable frame. He's strong. He's super athletic. He's an elite-level rebounder. He's a very good shot blocker. And as far as, you know, running the floor hard, just his motor is just off the charts. But what I think people are starting to maybe sleep on a little bit is the skill level is coming along, and it's coming along fast. He hit multiple threes, multiple mid-range jumpers in games this weekend. It's an area that he's slowly progressed throughout his career. He's an underrated passer, I think. He can take it and rip from the mid-range. He can rip on the baseline and take it for a dunk. I think that skill level progression and not just being this high motor energy rebounder, tough athletic guy is what can take him to the next level and not only be a really good player in the Big Ten, but potentially down the line be a pro.
Why don't you think he is that? You know, we have him at top 50, I think. I think Rivals has him at 31. I'm not sure where ESPN or anyone has him, but like, why don't you think he's quite reached that hype? Is it because he's committed? Is it because he doesn't have as much? You know, I guess he's ahead of James Brown for a lot of people now, so people are watching him at least.
Yeah, I don't know, and I'll say this: you know, I'm super close with a lot of the 24/7 guys that do the national ranking. That is such a hard job. Like, yeah, I think it's hard doing the Illinois ranking to cover the whole country because it's one of those things where you might only get to see a kid one or two times during the spring or the summer, and your entire evaluation is based on that. So I think it's hard with that. Just from my scene, like the week before, I saw the elite players in the 25 and 26 classes at Nike Elite 100, like that are five-star bona fide you know, potential future McDonald's All-Americans, a lot of those guys. He was right at that level to me. I think one thing is he's not overly like talkative. Like, I have a really good relationship with him. We talk. Yeah. He's actually, honestly, one of the kids that actually calls me on the phone instead of text me, which is very rare. Yeah. You know, he's not one of those guys that loves the media, loves the spotlight, all that stuff. He just wants to do his work and play basketball and, you know, do what he does best and get better. And so I don't know if that has anything to do with it, but just based on my opinion of what I saw of him this weekend, I've seen this spring and just the overall progression since before his high school career started. Like, a lot of people don't remember, like, he coming in his freshman year was the COVID year. So a lot of the first evaluations I saw him were like online footage of him playing in some league in Indiana, and I'm like, this kid's got a chance. And just to see him develop throughout his career, I really like the trajectory he's gone on.
Well, Illinois is looking to add to the class of 2024 with Merez, and I'm going to screw up the pronunciation of his name, but Jason Jaxtus out of Yorkville, 6'10". Big man, looks pretty skilled. He's a three-star recruit by Moth Services. So what do you make of this offer, Scott? And what do you think of, you know, his potential?
I've been a huge fan of him for a while. He played with Basketball Paradise last year on our Prep Hoop circuit. And, you know, I was a huge fan. You know, he's got legit size. He's added strength to his frame since then, but he's always just been super productive, but he's also had the potential to get better. And he is showing that he's getting better and better. We've had him ranked in the top 7 in this class ever since going into his, I think the summer going into his, like a year ago almost. Mm-hmm. So he's been right on that cusp of potential high major. And then he's moved up to number 5 with some attrition of the guys we talked about earlier. He's very skilled at 6'10", 6'9". He can post up, excellent footwork, very good passer. He can stretch the floor with his shooting. And I think the best thing he does is block shots. He's an elite level rim protector. Saw him against Phoenix Gills team on Sunday at RB. He had 7 blocks, maybe like 5 in the first like couple minutes. And then they were like, yeah, this whole going in the lane thing's probably not going to work so well, especially when it wasn't Phoenix and they just kind of started doing stuff on the perimeter. But he's just got such a great feel. He's a versatile defender that can switch in ball screens. He's you know, athletic, mobile, and a great team player. And I think the thing that is the most intriguing for Illinois and their fans is he is a perfect complement to Merez. Merez and him fit each other's games well, with Merez bringing the rebounding, the toughness, the high energy, Jason bringing the, you know, the more established pick and pop ability. He can run, they can both run the floor really well. I think they're going to complement each other well if they were to play together. And Illinois, you know, quietly being on the trail for him for a while. I actually, when he posted the offer, I was like, I thought they already offered him, but I guess they hadn't. So, but they have been recruiting him for a while, and they were definitely, they had coaches at every single one of his games this weekend, and he performed very well.
Yeah. Another guy who performed really well, in-state kid Illinois offered last year at this time, familiar name Gill, but Phoenix Gill, son of Illini legend Kendall Gill, seemed to have a strong weekend at Riverside Brookfield. Illinois, you know, out ahead, no other high major offers at this point. Toledo, some other schools are in on him. But what do you make of Phoenix Gill's progression over the last year and really last couple months?
Yeah, so one of the top players in that class, and I think with the way he played this past week, and I saw either full or parts of 3 of their 4 games, you know, the Ignatius team looks very different than it did last year, where he had 2 other Division I players he was going with Richard Barron and Jackson Kotecki. They have no Division I players on that team other than him now. And so it's kind of his team. The first game I saw him, he was getting to the basket and getting fouled a lot. So I think he scored the majority of his points at the free throw line. The second game, I caught the last 10 minutes. His team was behind by a pretty significant amount. He went on an absolute tear. I think Derek was sitting at the other end of the floor for that game, and he just went on a monster tear where he was scoring absolutely at will. Athletic takes to the rim, pull-up jumpers, getting his teammates involved. He did really whatever he wanted. The only mistake he made, honestly, in that 10-minute stretch that I watched was he pulled up for a three, and it was kind of like that Kevin Durant shot a couple years ago. It's just a little bit on the line. And so they didn't send the game into overtime, but he was spectacular. He had 32 points in that game. And then the game against Jason and Yorkville Christian, he had 15 points. But what I was most impressed with was his all-around floor game. He was getting his teammates involved. His shooter, Philip Erickson, was really hot at that game. He was finding him. He can play on and off the ball, and he's a really high-level defender as well. I think that's something that Kendall was really known for throughout his career, both in college and in the NBA, and Phoenix is really starting to get those traits. And it was the first time I looked at him, something a lot of people have talked about is he doesn't play basketball. So this was the first chance I had been able to see him since what he did in Champaign, where he was really good in the semifinal and consolation game. He's got more a defined body. You can tell he's been in the gym working. He kind of starting to look like his dad physically too. Mm-hmm. And with those long arms, that strength, those broad shoulders. He was really impressive. I think there's potentially Davion Hanna moving to Illinois. It's not for sure yet, but he played with Kenwood this weekend, top player in Wisconsin. But if he doesn't, I think you're looking at a battle of him and Alex Alston for number one in 2025.
I want to ask you about Alston because Ty Rogers' senior year, I went and saw him and Thornton play against Kenwood. Day-Day Ames, really loaded Kenwood team, right? They've been loaded in Chicago publicly the last couple of years. In the sophomore game, I saw this long, lanky freshman shooting threes and making them. And I'm like, oh, that kid could be interesting. And it turns out it's Alex Alston. And I said, oh, I'm going to watch that kid, see if he blows up. And he certainly has blown up into a high major prospect. Illinois is offered. What do you think of him, Scott?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, to do what he can at his size is so intriguing. Some of these other guys, particularly some of the guys that have moved out of state, got a lot more hype early on because the production was there, but I kept looking at it. I was like, that's the dude that has the long-term potential. Yeah. When you're watching kids when they're super young, you're looking at what they're going to be in 3 or 4 years, not what they are right now. And he was the one that you pointed to, and it's like, he's 6'7" now, but he's going to continue to grow. I call him kind of a point power forward almost, where like he operates as a four, but he can be a post player. Yeah. As far as operating your offense, I think one of the best things he does, you mentioned the shooting, I think his passing is unbelievable. At Nike Elite 100 camp, they played him a little bit out of position. He was kind of playing the five, which doesn't really fit his style perfectly. But what I liked about him was he was grabbing the boards off the glass and pushing in the open floor and using his ability to see over other defenders, even elite players, and pick the defense apart, whether it was a rim runner, whether it was a shooter. He could also pull up and shoot the three ball. I think he's just got so much skill at that size, and the versatility on both ends of the floor is very, very intriguing.
Yeah. I know it's early for this class, but it seems like there's some excitement, Scott, about the freshman class that hasn't even had a class in high school quite yet. But the class of 2027, wow. Are you as excited about this as I've heard some other people?
I am. I was very, very intrigued with what I saw this weekend, I think. The only one I guess I'd seen a couple of them in person. The one that we've seen quite a bit is Jackson Davis, from Warren. He's a left-handed point guard. The first game I saw him was this spring at one of our Prep Hoops events, played against Hansberry star Albrecht Jr., and he went for 44 points playing up on the 17U level. And I was like, well, we got something here. Mm-hmm. And it was just his poise and his ability to make shots, get others involved, get in the lane, slick handles. He was really good this weekend. I know a lot of different high majors were already tracking him. First game I saw this weekend was Bolingbrook versus Downers Grove North. And it was a kid named Davion Thompson, who is actually, I think, on the Illinois football radar already, as well as he's projected to be the number one high school quarterback in that class in Illinois and one of the better ones in the country, supposedly. And he was spectacular in a game with coaches baseline to baseline for Jack Stanton, who is racking up mid-major offers left and right. He was the best player on the floor, and he scored 18 points, hit four threes, got to the rack when he needed. He showed a passing feel. He threw a couple of, like, baseline throws across the court to his shooters in the opposite corner, and I'm just like, wow, that kid's really impressive. And basketball might not be his best sport. And I know Bolingbrook has another quarterback I hear is pretty good too. Yeah. So we'll see how that all plays out. But he was really good. Howard Williams from Whitney Young, super athletic, kind of a 2-3 at this stage. Got some development to go as far as his long-term potential, but you got to love the athleticism, the upside there as a two-way player. And then there's one more I'm forgetting. Oh, Devin Cleveland from Kenwood, the younger brother of Fred Cleveland, who was a Division I player at NCANT, played at Leo for a long time. He's at Kenwood. On that stacked Kenwood team with, you know, some of the best seniors in the state, Alex Alston, Davion Hanna in the junior class, this freshman coming in dropped 15 points in a pretty competitive game against Rolling Meadows. Good shooter, can really make shots from distance, good handles, and he played with poise too. Like, I was very impressed with all four of those freshmen. And then there's one more that I've not seen yet, but he's kind of making his first big debut this weekend at the Moore Shootout today, is Cam Riggs from Normal West. He's a national name that I've not seen in person, but I've heard a lot of good things. Awesome. And I'm excited to get some reviews from friends that are there today. Okay. So those are the five freshmen to watch at this point.
That'll be fun to watch them develop. Scott, this has been great. Before I let you go, just want to ask you again. I know Illinois fans have not had the NCAA tournament success they have wanted, but certainly Illinois has had a lot of Big Ten success and just feels so much more relevant again. Just what is the buzz about Illinois when you talk to people, whether it's recruits or coaches, about, you know, where the program's at and just the cachet they have on the recruiting trail right now?
Yeah, I definitely think the cool factor, or whatever you want to call it, is back, where it wasn't there in the mid-2000, whatever, what do we call them, the teens, whatever. Yeah. I don't think that was there, where a lot of these kids were really considering Illinois. And I think it is back. It's one of those things when one of those Illinois coaches is at your game, it's a big deal. And you could tell that from the players this weekend, when whether it was Tim Anderson or Jeff Alexander or you know, Coach Underwood or any of those guys were at those games this weekend, there was a buzz among the players, and, oh, you know, Illinois is over there watching. So I think definitely the program's going in the right direction, and getting you know, guys like Io was huge, and then even getting a guy like Terrence Shannon. Yeah, he didn't commit to you out of high school, but to get him on the bounce back, you know, that was big for these in-state players. And, you know, they've done well doing that, even in the transfer portal. With potentially Jeremiah Williams and some of these other guys, where Justin Harmon wasn't even I look back, we had him 66 in the class. Like he wasn't even on the radar. But it's those type of players where, with how recruiting is done now, it's like if you can leave an impression on those guys when they're in high school, whether it's just consistently showing up at public league games or big time events. Like I remember when they went to the TOC this year, I thought that made a huge statement when they, you know, when they went full staff, half the team or quite a bit of the team came. I think doing stuff like that makes a huge statement that this is our state. We want to recruit the best players. We want to get the best talent. And, you know, unfortunately, a lot of them are leaving. But as far as like leaving the state of Illinois for high school, but I think they've done a great job as far as prioritizing the guys that are high major recruits. You know, there's not as many as there once was. We're not in the era of 2014 when Javon Carter was like the 15th ranked player in the state, and he and all, but to his credit, like all those guys above him were still high majors. We're not at that anymore. It's four or five guys max each year, but they're doing a really good job identifying those kids and making them feel like a priority early. And I think you saw it this weekend where Illinois was at games of Jackson Davis at Warren. They were at games for Whitney Young watching Howard play. They were at the Kenwood games, obviously for other players, but Devin Cleveland saw them there. They were at the Bolingbrook kids games to see him. To get out and see these kids before they even play a high school game, that's got to be make an impression on those kids early in the process. Now, who knows what that'll mean later on and how recruiting works anymore. I don't even know how much of that matters, but they're doing a good job.
Scott Burgess, you can follow him on Twitter at ScottyBScout. You can follow him at his website, PrepHoops.com. Scott, always appreciate the time and insight, my friend.
Thanks, bud.
Great stuff as always from Scott Burgess. Again, check him out on Twitter at ScottyBScout or PrepHoops.com. That's going to do it for us here on the Illini Inquirer podcast. As always, check out everything at IlliniInquirer.com. We have a busy weekend with football recruiting, basketball offers, and recruiting going on. You can check that out now. And then, of course, our discussion with Josh Whitman at the Media Roundtable on Wednesday. We'll have plenty of content coming out from that as we get to learn a lot from the Illinois AD once a year in those and media days. He likes to talk as well, but he really gives the state of the Illini at those meetings and usually does a pretty informative job of it. And we get to ask our questions that you guys like to know as well. And then we'll meet with Brett Bielema on Thursday is the plan. So we've got plenty coming up, plus all those official visits. Never a time to slow down, but that makes it fun for you guys, mostly for us. But July should be a little bit quieter of a month coming up. But check out everything at IlliniInquirer.com. Follow us wherever you get your podcasts. We appreciate when you do that. Check us out on YouTube. Hit the like button on there. Hit the subscribe button. Hit the notifications bell. All those things. Any way you guys can support us, we appreciate it. And don't forget, 50% off VIP membership right now. If you're not a VIP member, get access to all of it at IlliniInquirer.com. Everybody have a great day. Take care of each other. We'll talk to you next time right here on the Illini Inquirer podcast.
Bye, everybody.
Streaming on Paramount Plus.
You ready, Bob? Well, all
right. Audiences are raving. Bob Marley is electrifying. It's the feel-good movie of the year. You dig? Bob Marley, One Love. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.